Hey, Flippers and Bumpers, welcome to the Flips and Bumps podcast, a podcast about two guys trying to make some money, the flips that make them that money, and the bumps in the road they face along the way. You want to get a hold of this podcast? You email us, flipsandbumpspodcast@gmail.com. You want to follow us on social media? Only on Instagram, @flipsandbumps. You want to listen to this podcast? Well, that's why you are here. Listen every single Monday morning at flipsandbumps.com, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Monday mornings are when we drop those new episodes. That also includes YouTube. You like YouTube? Head on over to YouTube. Search Flips and Bumps Podcast. It'll come up. You subscribe. You do what you got to do. Blah, blah, blah. All the other stuff. I'm the host of the show. My name is Sasha. And this week, I'm bringing in my friend, Pee-wee.
Whoa, I wasn't even ready for it. What is up?
Look, I'm keeping you on your toes. That's all. Absolutely. I'm doing. Let's do this thing. We're the Vanga boys.
Yeah,
the Vanga bus is here. Other Vanga related items, I don't know. Lou Vanga, Mambo Lou number Vanga? 5.
Okay. Vanga was the character in Street Fighter.
That's true. And that's it. That's those four.
That's all
things.
We're done, yeah.
How you doing, Pee-wee?
Good. Happy Easter, man. How are you?
Oh, happy your Easter.
Actually, when is Serbian Easter?
This year, May 5th.
May 5th?
Yeah.
It's March.
That is correct, yeah.
Wow. What is the theory behind that?
Different.
I mean,
calendars.
I know that because I'm American, I think that the world revolves around our country, but like your holidays have nothing to do with ours. Is that right?
Sometimes. I think last year they might have been on the same day, but it's two different calendars, basically. Like the Orthodox Greek calendar, Serbian Orthodox, okay. All that stuff is a little bit different. I'm going to keep waving my hands like this. Let me see how long I can.
That doesn't
do this
make
for
me understand
year.
The term two calendars any easier. Well, so we like, have one calendar.
No, there's two. There's an old calendar, and then there's a new calendar, and
there's
apparently
an old one
they're
and
off
a current one.
By 2 weeks or whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
So in my life, Serbian New Year's is January 14th. Serbian Christmas is January 7th.
Right.
And those are the same days. Anyway, who cares about any of this? Happy Easter. I do actually celebrate because my wife celebrates. So, like, right. We did Easter and went to her mom's house and rabbits were there or whatever. I don't know.
Oh, you know what I did today? We went to my mom's house. And I finally had the kids hide all of those ceramic ducks that I was numbering. Do you remember this from a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I kind of remember that.
I was sitting here numbering these, like, they were tiny little ducks. And we numbered 1 through 100. And then I had the three little boys running around her house behind my mom's back and hiding them all over the place. And, I mean, she's older. So, like, she found, like, one or two as they're hiding them. And she's like, what is this? Why do these ducks keep popping up? And then she started walking around and picked a couple, like, a handful up. She had, like, 15 of them. And she's like, I think I got them all. Not, like, paying attention. She saw that they were numbered on the bottom, but, like, wasn't thinking that, you know, that they were numerical. And at 15, she thought she was done. And then the boys are just in the corner. It was a great time. Everybody thought it was a great idea.
Did you find all of them?
No. That's the whole thing. My mom honestly didn't even know I was behind it. Like, I was just in the basement, and the boys, I would send the boys up with like five at a time, and then they would go hide them and come back for more. And then as my mom's finding them, I'm just playing dumb. And then the goal is we all leave her house, and then she finds them for the next like 5 months.
Yeah,
like opens up a cupboard, there's one. Tries on a new pair of shoes that she hasn't tried on in a while, there's one.
Any chance she gets angry about this?
I did have to stop the boys from putting tiny ceramic ducks in her bed. So I didn't, because I was just stationed in the basement. I don't know all the places that they put them.
Yeah.
Like, she also has a dog who I'm concerned about who may. I had to make a rule,
good.
Like, no food, no, don't put it in the dog's, like, water bowl. We a lot of stuff went down, and as far as I could tell, the boys followed directions, but there was 100 ducks. I don't know where they all went.
Well, you also famously don't like dogs, so
that's true. Yeah,
this could be a plot that you've been planning.
Nobody likes this dog. It's a pit bull. It's deaf. It's the most frustrating dog in the world.
I would also say that the singer pit bull is also deaf. Do the kids still say deaf?
D-E-F. I don't think they say pitbull. I don't think pitbull's a thing anymore.
Well, I mean, if you're like a middle-aged white woman, you love pitbull.
Okay, fair.
And our friend Putski loves pitbull as well. either loves or extremely hates, but this is a positive podcast, so I'm going to go with he loves Pitbull. That sounds fun. You had a lot of family fun.
Yeah, we did. It was a good time.
My Easter was whatever. We ate food. It was delicious. My mother-in-law does a great job every year. This week, I finished watching Boy Meets World. That's what I needed to get to
here. There we go. Okay.
Because I know a lot of people were wondering if I would get to it. I did. The show is very up, very down. This is not the last I'm going to talk about Boy Meets World, but it did end in a nice way, in a way that you kind of thought it would end. But I didn't remember the ending at all, so I'm not going to spoil it. Go watch Boy Meets World.
I think I've seen the end.
You did or you didn't?
I think so.
Yeah, it's exactly what you think would happen. It's the kids with Feeny.
Yeah. I do. I did see it. It's in a backyard.
In a classroom. So close, yeah.
No, I know that scene. I know that scene. But the Feeny has the last line, right?
Probably, yeah.
But there's big event that happens. Yes. There's a big event that happens outside. A wedding. I'll say a wedding. I won't say whose wedding.
Maybe I didn't see the end of it.
Maybe that's not the last episode.
That was like season 4.
That could be. Okay.
Then there were three more seasons of mediocre television.
I'll have to check it out.
The biggest thing that happened to me this week before I start the show, I found out this week that Liam Neeson, that his name is not Lee M. Neeson.
Wow.
That happened this week, so... Let's start the show. I am on the clock, and what that means is I get to talk about whatever I feel like talking about in the world of flipping and reselling and thrifting and all those fun things we talk about. When I am done, Pee Wee will have his opportunity to talk about whatever he feels like. I got some quick hitters and some slow burners. You know what I'm saying? Quick hitters and slow burners this week, Pee Wee.
Okay. Because
the Vanga bus is coming. I wanted to know... Late. If you heard about this, because it was pretty big news that came out this week from Mercari. Have you heard anything from Mercari?
I have.
Well, look at this. Are you
this
talking
on
about
my
this?
List too. Yeah, I mean, you go ahead. We can both talk about it.
Okay. So Mercari, no more selling fees. Here's the thing that they sent out. It said effective March 27th, which was a couple days ago. 0% selling fees. The selling fee for new listings will be 0%. That's right. What used to be a 10% selling fee is now zero. Buyers can buy with confidence, as buyers will now be able to return items for any reason at all, which is what scares me on eBay. You know, when you put free returns, no matter what, do whatever. I always had that fear.
I know it's scary, but you don't get the returns. I have them on for everything you don't get. Go ahead.
I'm with you. It's probably less than 1% of returns that you would get based on that thing. It's not as many scammers as you think is going to happen. But I love it even more with Mercari because you don't pay for shipping anyway. So if they want to return, they can return as long as I get my item.
Interesting. Okay.
The next thing they said was the service fee. It says when you make a purchase, a service fee will be charged. The amount of the fee will be displayed as part of the final price of your item on the checkout page. And that to me is a buyer thing. So like buyers are getting all these random fees added on their end, whereas sellers are now, we're dancing the dance of joy, Perfect Strangers
reference. Are we though? Are we though? Do you think this is a good move?
For sellers?
For Mercari. For sellers, for people using Mercari.
Well, for people using Mercari, like I see how it balances out, right? So they're adding all these fees to the buyer, which means you as a seller, you're probably going to have to sell a little bit lower than you normally would.
Absolutely. And also, you know who's not going to be happy? I've already seen posts on Facebook about this.
Uh-oh.
The buyers aren't happy.
Why? Because of the fees?
They see the fees. They know that this is news.
Yeah. Like, I don't know.
eBay does it right. I don't want to act like I'm just like
I still
kissing
think...
eBay's butt, but like they've been doing that. They've been in the game for long enough to know what works. What works is appealing to the buyer, and the sellers have no choice but to follow your rules. The seller should be paying the fee. I say this as a seller. I think this is a terrible move by Mercari.
I'm pretty sure this is what they used to do when they started.
Okay.
And then they went on to having fees or whatever. I could see this as a ploy to try and get more people selling on Mercari, right?
Like, sure.
Eventually they will change back
but
the other
But is the problem
way.
Ever sellers? Think of Whatnot. Is the problem, like, are there a lack of resellers and flippers out there? Or are there a lack of people who are willing to spend money on these apps?
Well, it's not that there's a lack of resellers, but it's a lack of resellers using Mercari. If they want to grow the people who are selling on their own platform, they got to try and do something to get more resellers.
I think you're going to kill your customer base by doing this. Not kill it, but like definitely damage it.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think the buyers are going to have to adjust their prices, and they're not going
to
be as happy.
Sellers have to. Yeah, the sellers correct. Need to adjust their prices. I agree with that because yeah. the people – I was thinking about this today. I don't –
Because as a buyer, you can still go, look, after all the fees, I'm paying $35 for this thing, and on eBay, it is blank.
But that was my gut instinct with that comparison. But also, I buy, like, I'm very with it when it comes to different flipping apps and different just commerce apps and being able to, like, price compare. If I'm buying something on eBay, I will compare it to, like, Amazon or other places I can get it. But one place I do not compare it to is Mercari. Is it possible that Mercari buyers are not comparing their stuff to eBay as often as we think they are?
I'm sure. I don't know anything about Mercari.
I'm saying if we're not doing it, then are the casual buyers doing it?
Maybe.
I don't know that that is going to be that big of a deal as far as the sellers having to lower their prices to incorporate the fees that the buyer is going to have to pay anyways.
So you're just thinking that like... Buyers,
stuff will just be more expensive on Mercari.
Yeah, the buyers are going to see it and then not want to buy on Mercari because of the price difference or whatever.
Yeah, they'll see the extra fees and stuff. Yeah. But I don't think the one... I mean, I guess it could, but I don't think one of the bigger issues is, well, eBay's cheaper.
I kind of wonder if... I mean, of course they thought this thing out well or whatever, but something that was interesting was they also have this payment processing and withdrawal fee. So as a seller, you now have to pay $2 or whatever it was. Hold on. I might be reading the wrong part here. I don't know what the exact thing... Oh, the direct deposit, maybe? Whatever okay. it is to get your money.
Yeah.
On whatever date that they started this, the 27th, there's a $2 flat fee per cash out. So you want to take your cash out of Mercari,
what?
$2
really?
Fee. And then... Like the very next day, they sent out another email to me saying March 27th, we announced that it would be charging a $2 fee for all ACH direct deposit requests.
Oh, I did see that.
Effective immediately through April 3rd, which is this week.
It's like another week.
Yeah, but they're basically saying if you want to take your money out without any charges, you can do it right now.
Yeah, that's interesting.
If you've already paid the $2 because you took your money out, we'll pay you back or reverse it or whatever it's going to be. But after that is going to be $2. So people are
Now that I understand what that means, here's my theory on what happened. Mercari's just thinking, we need to make more money. How can we do that? Well, let's charge the sellers a processing fee to get their funds out. They previously weren't, right?
Correct. Well, okay. I don't know because I've never taken money out of Mercari.
Okay, great. But it sounds like they weren't because that's what that initial email was saying as of March 27th and now April 3rd or whatever. We will start charging a $2 fee. It's possible that they said, well, the Mercari higher-ups realized that, well, if we add another fee to the sellers, maybe that's going to make some of them angry. What if we then subvert their selling fee? We take that away, we add on a $2 fee to get their money out, and then that seller fee that they previously had, let's just give that to the buyers. We're still making them the same amount of money plus $2 every transaction as far as the funds being removed. And, everybody's happy, minus the buyers, the number one group that you want to keep happy.
I feel like we're making them sound like what we would sound like sure. if we were running a company.
I honestly think this is a very bad idea.
Well, we will see, I guess. I made a sale on Mercari that was, it kind of explained everything. I think I sent you a picture. It says Lems. It's the shoes that I sent.
The shoes.
Potentially. Maybe I didn't even send it to you. This? But basically,
No.
It just shows, like, the breakdown now. So, like, I had a breakdown before of a hoodie that I sold for like $31 for this one thing, I decided to, I wanted to see what it would be like if I paid for shipping, right? Because they wanted to charge like $13 or whatever to ship a hoodie. The price, the shipping prices are crazy. And I believe this was on Mercari. I might be confusing it with one of the other ones, but I'm pretty sure it was Mercari.
Okay.
The way that it's set up, because it's by weight and all that kind of stuff, for some reason, the only option that I was given was like a $13 charge to send this hoodie. And so I was like, well, I'm going to take on that charge because I'm sure I could send it for like $7 or $8. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, if I pay my own thing. But that's not how it works. They just take $13 away from your final price. So I ended up selling a hoodie, and then they just take the 13, whatever it was, plus
sounds
the
like
selling
another
fee.
Way that they can skim off the top, and then yeah. they pay the $7 and then keep the excess.
Yes, plus the processing fee. So I ended up, that was something that didn't go too well on my end this week. But I did make a sale since this plan has changed. And so, like, I sold an item for $35.50, and then it says you made $35.50 because they don't take any fees out of my end, where normally right. that would say, like, $27 or whatever it was. And then it shows the buyer paid the price, the buyer paid service fee, $248, the buyer paid delivery, $8.99, the buyer paid payment processing fee of $1.94, and the buyer paid tax, $283. So that's four additional lines that the buyer has to see, which goes to your point of, like, I don't think people are going to like seeing that to buy stuff on Mercari. But I loved seeing it on my end, like, not taking anything out.
Sure, at face value, sure, it's great. Yeah. But yeah. I think as time goes on, Mercari may realize this is a mistake.
We'll see. They could always change things. Sure. Honestly, my belief is just them trying to get more people to try and sell on Mercari. That's probably the biggest thing to get people here. And then they
you
could
think
always.
That they have. I know we're going to harp back on this, but do you think that they have an excess of buyers and not enough sellers?
I think there's probably a certain, you know, we went through the numbers a couple weeks ago.
And I also realized that, like, it's the kids who are using Mercari, and I'm an old man who doesn't, like, I'm not with it anymore, and, like, maybe I just don't know the population of people who are using Mercari. I just, in my point of view, I don't see that many people using Mercari compared to eBay, and it's, in my opinion, from my standpoint, I feel like you should be catering as much as you can to the buyers at this point. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's just because I'm an old man and I'm out of touch.
And maybe they're just trying to add more inventory. Maybe there's not enough buyers and things kind of get stale and people aren't adding as much as they like. So they want to get people on to at least try and add stuff. I don't know. Maybe. It's like chicken or egg almost. It's like,
right.
Yeah, make one side angry, make one side happy, and then now let's flip it on them eventually later.
Right.
But that's interesting move. Their name's been all over the place. People are at least going to go, oh, Mercari's not charging fees. I'm going to go take a look at something. I don't know. I don't know, Pee Wee.
Not a fan. Don't like him.
We would like to take this time to remind everybody, we are not professionals. We just talk about this stuff. So it is what it is.
I haven't listed a single thing on eBay in 3 months. You probably shouldn't listen to me at all.
I had my biggest month in sales of the year this month, and I have listed the least amount of items.
That's amazing.
So
that's amazing.
So take your algorithm and give it to your neighbor. As a nice present. I have a question for you here. This is just a little trivia thing for you. Uh-huh. I hit a certain number of items sold, and I have a certain amount of feedback. And so I wanted to see how much feedback you think you get per item sold. Does that make sense?
Like, how many items do I have to sell to get one feedback?
Yeah. Like, for instance, when you buy stuff from Amazon, do you ever leave feedback?
No.
No one does. It's very, very difficult to get feedback on Amazon.
Okay.
And so I have at least my numbers on eBay, and I hit a certain mark. Now, do you want to guess what the percentage is, or do you want to guess?
Oh, sure. Yeah, the percentage would be good.
Okay.
So of however many sales you make, how many actually leave
feedback
afterwards? And it doesn't matter if it's good, bad, or neutral.
Yeah, just any feedback.
Any feedback. I would say, like, 18%.
Okay. I would have guessed higher, but I don't think I would have guessed what the number that I have is.
Okay.
I hit 3,000 items sold.
Okay.
And 1,350 feedback, which is 45%.
Whoa. Yeah, that's close to half.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe 30%, somewhere around.
I guess if I had thought about my numbers, I'm probably close to that.
I would believe so. A lot more people.
How did you get your total numbers sold?
It just, like, I always saw it was 2,900 at the top of whatever I was looking at, and it just turned to 3,000. So it might be 3,006, and the number might be 44.9%, but you know what I'm trying to say. I just thought that was interesting. It's a lot more than I thought it would be, and it's a lot more, I think, than Amazon. Once again, I'm just speculating and guessing on these things, but I know, like, once I send out like 7 or 8 packages, I know I'm good for a couple of feedback. So, just interesting to see that number. I've been using Vendu still to cross list items on all the different things. Mercari, Poshmark, and Depop are the ones that I use. Do you want to guess which of those three have been my best? My best other app to sell off of? Mercari, Depop, or Poshmark?
It has to be Mercari.
It is Mercari.
It has to. The other two, I don't know what they are.
Yeah, Poshmark's a little... Poshmark's my least favorite. It's just... I've had a couple sales on there. It just continues to be my least favorite. Mercari, to me, seems like it's not just a clothing one. It seems more like eBay, where you could sell anything you want on Mercari as well, and that's kind of cool, whereas Depop is a little bit more clothing-based. Thank you guys all for reaching out over the past couple weeks, months, whatever it's been, to like tell us your opinions on it and you know, all that sort of thing. I agree with you guys 100%, and Mercari's been okay for me, but I mean, by okay, I mean, I think I have around $400 in sales since I started doing this on Mercari. So it's not... as a comparison, I have $3,000 in sales in eBay this month. So over a couple months to make 400 extra bucks, it's like, I'm still doing it. And now with the, you know, no fees and all that stuff, and it is kind of getting used to certain things. But I don't know. We'll see. One thing that I didn't like... Vendu's interesting, right? You have to use a desktop to use it. It's not very good on your phone. And once you sell an item, it then goes on the other apps and takes your item off, right?
Okay, yeah.
And it's supposed to do that automatically. Now, I've had the second time this is happening where I sold a couple of things that it did not take off. And so I went in and I marked as sold on the other thing.
And this is something you pay for, right?
It's something I pay for. It's something that there's a lot of bugs, but they fix them. They're constantly like working on stuff and doing it. And it has gotten easier to use and a little bit better, smoother on their end.
That sounds risky.
But that really was something that it happened before, and I was like, maybe I was doing something wrong. Maybe I still am doing something wrong, but it's something that happened again to me this week. And so what I've noticed is, like, when I sign back on the desktop, that's usually when it'll, like, kind of, like, reset and, you know, send everything where it needs to be. But it didn't do it this week, so I'm not sure why or what the... Nothing has changed.
That's going to lead to you double selling something.
Yeah. I'm very... I don't like that at all. One thing me and you talked about last week when we got off the air was the fact that we have not advertised for our dear friend, the King of Art. I'm going to call him J. Allen Tuttle, because that's what he goes by for this. He put out a coloring book on Amazon. It's called Monsters Are Real.
J. Allen Tuttle is real?
Yeah, J. Allen Tuttle, the King of Art.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting. Yeah, that book is awesome.
This book is incredible. I'm going to, if you're watching on YouTube, you got to see the detail of the pictures of these things. I am not I'm not big on coloring. I never learned how to color. But, you know, of course I'm buying this thing. I'm going to support. And you guys should go on Amazon and support as well. I think it's like $9 or something
it's
for
cheap.
This.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's super cheap. It's free shipping. I think if you type in Monsters Are Real, it's the first thing that comes up now because it's got a ton of 5-star
Can we put a link in our Instagram?
Yeah. We'll put a link out there. And I don't know. I don't know why it's taken us so long to do it.
Yeah, it's been out there for... It's been... maybe not since Halloween, but like it's been a release for a few months at least.
Yeah, we apologize to the King of Art, J. Allen Tuttle, which I'm calling you.
All
J.
the
J.
art you
Tuttle.
See on our graphics graphics on the YouTube page, that was all done by him.
Yeah, he's incredible. He's
the man.
Absolutely incredible when it comes to art, and we're idiots, so we have that going for us. The last thing I want to talk about, Pee-wee. Oh man, I'm back, baby.
Oh no.
Send out the facts. I am back. Something happened this week. Remember, I sent out my card to get graded to PSA a couple months ago. It was about 2 months ago.
Okay.
Got it back. I'm having a tough time saying this because I'm trying not to, like, spoil other things that I may have or not gotten.
What is happening?
Graded over here. Okay, so I got a card graded. I got this Jalen Brunson rookie card. It's one of my favorite players. I had this rookie optic card. It came back this week. It was very cool to get it in the mail, in the box. The PSA did a very good job. They keep you updated the entire time. You get constant emails of where in the process they are, and they're sending it back or whatever.
Okay.
And unfortunately, I went on a part on their website that I didn't know. I was clicking on it to see some information, and I got the information of what the grades were on the card.
Oh, that's right. So you don't get the surprise when you get
home. Yeah, I ruined my own surprise. But
yeah.
I did get the card. I love it. I love how it looks. I guess there's no reason to show it on here. We've seen them before or whatever. But it's a very cool card.
We haven't seen the top part.
The grade is a 9, mint 9. So
that's a foil, like, lenticular card?
I don't know what
that means. My understanding, it's like holographic.
Yeah,
that's the word that we understand from the mid-90s. My understanding is those cards do not grade well.
I was also told that by our card guy. I'm calling him our card guy, our dear friend Turtle.
Okay.
He's the only person I can talk to about cards because he's a big card guy. He sells cards on his eBay store, which I can plug if I get to it in a second because I forgot something collectibles. But I reached out to him about some stuff. I was telling him about this when I hung out with him at the Super Bowl, and he goes, yeah, that's a tough grade on those things. So when I got it back and it was a 9, I was like, that's cool. I'm probably keeping it anyway. A couple 9s have sold of this exact card for like $30-$35, right around that part or whatever. But I'm a Jalen Brunson fan.
Wait, a graded 9?
Yeah, graded 9.
Sold for only $35?
Yeah.
That seems low. Okay.
So I'm holding on to
it. How much did it cost to get it graded?
Like 25, probably 35.
Yeah. It's still cool. If you're planning on keeping it, it makes it a cool piece.
Yeah, and Jalen Brunson is someone, he's from Illinois. He won 3 state championships at Stevenson High School in Illinois, in Lincolnshire, Illinois. And then he went to Villanova. He won 2 NCAA championships. Then he went to the NBA. The Mavericks gave him up, and now he plays for the Knicks, and he's like MVP caliber player. Had 61 points the other night. He's very, very good, and you know, I'm a Knicks fan, so it's, I don't know. Everything about this card made me feel good and nostalgic. And nostalgic is what kind of messed me up, because after seeing this, I was like, you know what? Maybe I am a card guy.
There we go. How did you get that card? Did you pull it out of a pack?
This was from Goodwill, a find that I found. I got 2 packs a long time ago. They were 99 cents each, and one of the packs was every rated rookie from 2018. This one, Optic. Hologram. Every single one in the pack was a hologram, prism, whatever you call these things.
Okay, yeah.
And I ended up selling the Luka Doncic, which was like $100-something, the Trae Young.
Okay, yeah, I remember those.
$60 or whatever. And then I have the rest of them. and so this is just one. I mean, he's my favorite player out of all of them, so I'm keeping it. But I got that feeling, and it was like nostalgic, and I was like, you know, I don't want to give this away. Like, I grew up collecting cards, and I never really had valuable cards because I collect cards of people I like, and none of them are like I never liked Michael Jordan. I like Derek Coleman, and nobody knows who Derek Coleman is. so I don't know, I just, it was very cool to get this, and I'm keeping it. But then I was like, maybe I am a card guy. If I see some cards, maybe I'll pick some up.
Yeah.
And I went to my local Meijer, and they had just restocked with basketball cards. There was probably 30 boxes of 2023-24 Donruss, I don't even know what they're called, Panini, whatever, whatever cards they were that I got here. And they were not only, they were like the blaster boxes, which is like six packs and I don't know how many cards per pack and whatever. I think it was 90 cards per box. And they're like $30 a piece, which is like crazy to think about.
A big investment for a guy who's not a card guy.
Yeah, exactly. $30 is like, I don't want to do that. That's half of a lunch for me. You know, I eat Ruth's Chris for lunch every day.
Styling and profiling.
And so, but what really hooked me when I got there was it was a buy one, get one box for 50% off. Oh, and I was like, well, it's a sign. I'm going to get two boxes here.
So you spent $45.
$54.
$54.
Yeah, because it's like $34.99 or whatever.
Okay,
it was,
yeah.
Right?
Amazing.
So I get these things and I go into my car and I'm not even waiting until I get home. I'm ripping and tearing. And I get in the car, I'm opening these things up and I'm going through and I'm having a good time. Like the feeling of opening the cards and all that stuff. All it is gambling for children and now like middle-aged people who are children.
Right.
And I'm going through and there's some green ones and whatever and nothing crazy or whatever. And then I pull a Victor Wembanyama, Pee-wee, and you know Victor Wembanyama because I brought him up on this show before, and you were like, I've never heard this man. And I said, you're going to hear a lot about this man. He's 9 feet tall. He's got a 17-foot wingspan. He's insane. He plays for the Spurs. He can dunk just standing.
Oh,
he dunks.
Yes, that's the guy. You sent me a gif of him, yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's insane. He's an alien. And I pulled one of his cards that was out of 99, so only 99 of them made. It's like a purple prism. Now, keep in mind, this is at Meijer, known for their cards, you know, big card place.
Right.
The same exact place that I pulled that one out of one Sasha Banks Bailey card.
Amazing.
A couple years ago or whatever. So I got this card and I was like, oh, that's cool. It's purple. It's different than the other ones. I didn't even see the out of 99 part. So okay. I went and I looked on eBay to see how much it's going for. And I see that a couple of them have just sold for like $400 to $500. In my mind, I'm like, this is awesome, but I'm probably looking at something wrong. So I immediately go and I message our dear friend Turtle.
Smart.
I don't have Turtle's phone number. I got to get on Facebook Messenger and do it. And I'm like, I don't know if he'll respond to this. He responds immediately. He's like, nice. That's an awesome card. He looks it up. He confirms for me the price. He's like, yeah, it's going for around $400 to $500.
Wow.
Bucks. And now he is also selling a Victor Wembanyama card that he has. That
okay.
It was like a different one, the optics or whatever. A different set of cards or whatever. But okay. He was asking $800 for it at some point.
Whoa.
And then I think he lowered it to like $700. And then when I was talking to him, he was like, yeah, I put it up for auction and just like...
Don't like that, but okay.
Yeah, he's like, I'm sick of the games that are being played by the people or whatever, so I'm just putting it on for 5 days.
Auction just leads to more games. Does Turtle listen to this?
I don't know. He used to, but now he like works during the day.
You get so many like false bidders and like people who don't pay. It's they still don't force people to pay on auction. You get plenty more games on auctions than you do on Buy It Nows.
But I will say this: his auction ended about 8:30 today, about an hour and a half ago, and it ended at something like $760 plus change. So he did end up. I don't know if the person has paid, like you're saying.
Yeah, right.
Who knows? Whatever. But it's good that he got.
It's a great price, yeah.
Yeah,
amazing.
Great stuff for that. So with this,
yeah,
I asked him.
Yours?
I go, well, do I send this in to get this graded, or do I sell this raw? Because these cards have been out for a while, and I don't know anything about this world. You know, like what's better, and
sure.
I know the value can drop if it sits too long, and I really have no clue what to do. And he's like, well, it's going to take a couple months to get it back, and you don't know what's going to happen with the value of that card or whatever. He looked up the price, like I said, $400 to $500. He's like, I would just sell it as an auction and do the same thing. Just take what you're going to get if you're, I'm in for $54 on this thing.
Right.
So anything over that would be great. So what I did was I put it up for $500, and I was like, let's see the games that are being played. Let me see what kind of offers I get. I got an offer for $375. I turned it down.
Wow.
I got an offer for $425. I turned it down.
Wow.
That one was one where I was like, I don't know if I did the right thing here.
Sure.
But I countered with $450. $450 is really the number that I was trying to get, like, okay, based on the information I had. The guy didn't respond, so I assumed he just didn't want it. And then this morning, was it this morning or yesterday morning? It might have been this morning. I got a message from the guy, and he was asking a little bit more about, like, the quality of the card. And I was like, look, I don't know a lot about cards. I took the pictures. I did close-ups of every, like, quarter of the card as well, so you can kind of look at the edges and do your own stuff here. To me, it looks good, but I have no clue what it's going to be. I can give you additional pictures if you need them. And he was like, is $450 your minimum? And I was like, you know, I could do $440 plus shipping. And he was like, all right, I'll do $440 plus shipping. So okay, guy ended up buying it.
Wow.
Immediately paid. It's good to go. It's getting out of here. And so, yeah, I paid $54 for those two boxes of cards. I made $440. After everything, it's like $330 or something in profit that I made on this thing, which makes me think that the right choice in life, Pee-wee, is to be a card guy. But I can't do it. It's not for me. But every once in a while, I could see, you know, picking something up and going through it. Just like, you know, just for the feeling of going through the cards and stuff, sure, like that. But then my question is, like, what do you do with the rest of the cards? I now have...
That's what I was going to ask. Nothing else in there was worth anything?
There's stuff in there that's worth, like, $2, $5 here or there. And cool. To me, it's like, I don't even want to list those because there's so little. But then I'm like, maybe I should because it's a bunch of stuff in there. You know, if I can make $20 or whatever off of whatever's left in there. But how long is it going to sit? But then on the other end, all you do is, it's a very easy listing, and then you put them in a little cart. It doesn't take up much space, so they could sit in there forever for all I care. Plus, it's listings for eBay. So I don't really know what to do on the cards aspect of it. I was going to try and watch some videos this week and see how people break down if there's something that it shows, you know, like what you can do, yeah, with all the remaining cards and that stuff. But yeah, just, I was very happy.
It doesn't
happy.
Matter if you throw them out. I mean, it matters, but like, you got your money back, you got your profit. It's not the end of the world, no matter what you choose.
Yeah. And so thank you, Victor Wembanyama. I've been cheering for you all season, and I feel like, the NBA gods have said, you know what? Let's make sure this guy gets enough Easter eggs for his family. So
very nice of him.
And congrats, that's it for
man.
Me.
That's great. Yeah.
That's it for me.
That's amazing.
Thanks.
I have a couple things I want to talk about. One was going to be the Mercari thing, but we touched on that. Before I get to my stuff, let's quickly throw this out there. I most likely will not be here next week. I guess I might. This coming weekend, I will be in Milwaukee Friday for setup. Saturday, Sunday is the Midwest Gaming Classic. It's one of the two video game conventions I do every year. And it's this weekend. I get back Sunday, but I get back late Sunday. I'm going to get back at like 6 or 7, maybe even closer to 8. The more I'm thinking about this, the more I'm thinking you should not count on me for being here next week. But the week after, I will hopefully come back with some stories from the show as far as stuff that I've sold, as well as pickups from the show if I have any. But I am concerned about this show. Very concerned. The last time I did a video game show was October. That was Retropalooza in Texas. And from October until now, I have not picked up many. I have a handful, maybe like 50 different video games, but a lot are junk that I need to go through and price. And basically what I'm saying is that my inventory will not be replenished. And normally I do about $7,000 in sales at this show. And I'm thinking, my guess is that I'm only going to do like 3,000. This time around, which I'm not happy about. I'm also not happy because I paid extra to get a better spot. The way that this show works is they have three sections: the front, like closest to the doors, middle, and then back. Normally, I just pick the back. It's the cheapest one, and it's by the food court. And it's like, okay, well, most people are going to go back there anyways. And even if they don't go to the food court, everybody almost everybody explores the entire grounds before they leave anyways. So everybody would see me. But I've done very well, specifically in Texas, when I've had like the front spots. In Texas, they let me choose my spot because I come there early and help them set up. And I have like an end cap. It's almost like doors open and the first booth they see is me. That has been fantastic for me. So I'm like, okay, let me try it in Milwaukee. So Milwaukee, I paid the extra amount. I think it's like an extra like $150 for the weekend. I paid $700 total for the weekend for my two tables. And after the upcharge and everything for getting in zone one, I finally got my table location. I should have pulled up a map of it. But my table, it's not an end cap. I knew it wasn't going to be an end cap because you pay extra for that. But it's on the side, meaning that I'm facing a wall. And I wanted to get I know you're not a convention guy, but I'm just looking for any sort of reassurance from anyone that'll listen. My gut is that this is not great. Because a lot of people just go down the center aisles. I do think eventually everybody does come down the side aisles, but it's not as prominent a spot as it is the middle, right? Is where my table is sitting, is that clear enough? Did I explain? This is another me taping a box situation.
For me, no. Anybody else listening, I can't speak for, but yeah, I'm not.
Okay, so the tables are set up like when you walk into a convention, there everybody has their own table and it's set up with like down rows, and you look down and you just see like tables that are like stacked up next to each other, and it's just booth. If you go down the center, there, let's say there's two different sections, like two lines of tables. If you go down the center, you have a table on the left side, a booth on the left, and a table on the right. And then you go to the next section up, and there's a table on the left, a table on the right. And you, as you keep going down the aisle, there's a table on your left, table on your right. That's like the main section. And with this convention, it's not just two rows of tables. It's like four, meaning that the middle sections, there's a couple middle sections. Mm-hmm. I'm not in those middle sections. I'm on the outside, right?
So I'm absolute outside. There's no one behind you.
Right. No, there is somebody behind me. There's nobody against the wall.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, like, if these are the two outside edges of tables, I'm on... My back is to the center of one of the ones I was previously talking about.
Okay.
Does that make sense? I should have pulled up a map. My only saving grace for this whole thing is that normally if somebody's going down the center aisle, they have two booths to look at on either side. If they're going down the edges, they only have my table to look at when they get to me.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, at least that's
the only like silver lining I can find.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if you're going to these things, aren't you trying to hit up every?
I would think so, but like, there's a lot of families that are like, they're bringing their kids, and they didn't think this whole thing out, and they're like, let's quickly see a few tables and let's get out of here. My bigger concern is the inventory. I don't know how I'm gonna do. I do still have that surprise at Dinosaur Peak for like $1,200. Hopefully that goes. I've got. Couple Pokemon games. Like I just don't have anything. Like, I don't know how much new stuff I have that Milwaukee hasn't seen last year.
Maybe this time around you just bring all the plush. Nothing but plush.
I'm bringing a lot of toys, but I'm letting Connor, my son, set up like a bunch of toys for him to sell. He's basically just going through. I let him go through like my garage sale pile that I'm never going to have a garage sale with, and just said, hey, anything you want to bring, I will price it, and I'm most likely just going to price everything at like $5 a piece and just have a $5 big bin under the table. And hopefully he can make some extra money to spend at the show.
Here's an interesting thing. I might be in Milwaukee on Sunday with my wife.
Really?
Yeah, we might not have an episode at all next week.
Amazing. Okay.
Oddly enough, the Knicks are playing the Bucks, and we're going to go up on Sunday. I think it's like a 6 p.m. game. Okay. I don't know.
If you get there early, let me know. I might be able to get you guys into the convention. At a minimum, you might be able to have lunch with my wife and son.
And then I could also see what you're talking about as to where
you
are.
Sure, there you go. And then we can get your thoughts next week. That works.
Yeah.
All right, that's enough complaining about MGC. We've complained about Mercari. Let me talk positively about eBay. eBay, Mercari is adding features that I don't agree with and that I think are negative for the business. eBay's doing the opposite. On your phone, when you go to your sold listings, have you noticed this new little icon? It's a in the picture of your. Tell me if you have this on your phone. It's interesting if you don't. On your sold listings, in the upper right-hand corner of the picture of your sold listing, now, at least on my phone, and we'll find out if Sasha has it in a second, but it's a little circle, and it has two arrows, one pointing up diagonal, the other one down diagonal. And this picture saved. You don't have it?
Mm-mm.
That's, wow, that's interesting. Now, you don't have an iPhone, right?
No.
All right, guys, let us know if you have this. Just comment in the Instagram or the, I was going to say Twitter. Definitely don't go to Twitter. Comment on Instagram or YouTube and let us know if you have this little symbol, the circle with the up and down arrows on your sold listings. What this does is it enlarges the picture. So this is just a screenshot from my phone and it just makes the picture like previously. I sell a lot of like this stuff, Funko Pops, action figures, a lot of. The worst is when I sell carded figures because I'll sell the, it'll be the my picture, the main picture, the one that'll show up on my sold listings is the carded, the card back and then the figure in front of it. But to do that, the picture has to be like zoomed out so I get the whole thing in there and all the card backs look the same. And the figure at that point is so tiny because I need a lot of space to get the card back in the picture that I can't tell what has sold. And the listing usually doesn't help me, or it's just something I'm not familiar with. Like it's an action figure that I'm just not familiar with, and I need a better picture. Oh, you know what I use this for all the time? Those kaiju, those stupid kaiju figures. I'm still selling them constantly.
How many kaiju?
So many kaiju. I just sold one for like $35. But when I sell it, I have no idea what it looks like, right? It just it looks like this little piece of plastic when it's this small picture. And normally what I'd have to do is open up the listing, click on three different buttons to get to the listing that sold, and then click on the picture of the listing, and that would finally blow up the picture. Now, eBay is nice enough to allow us to click on this little circle with the arrows, and it instantly blows up the picture so you can see it bigger.
That is great. I do like that.
Yeah.
I have noticed some like random stuff on, but you don't do stuff on the app as far as taking pictures to sell things and whatever. I noticed that something that they did in the opposite that like I have to hit an additional button to take a picture now. It's like, do you want to really? take a picture or take it from your gallery or whatever? And then I'll put.
I don't like that.
Yeah, and I was like, why just take a step back? Like it was perfect where it was before. This is positive though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I also have the same issue. Like sometimes I've grabbed something and then I realize I'm like, oh, especially when you have like sweatshirts that look the same,
right?
And they're this tiny on your phone, and yeah,
it's got a little emblem in the corner that you need to zoom in on, but you can't zoom in on the buyer on the sold page. Yeah, so I thought this was very helpful. Only other thing I have, it was just a question for you actually. I was listening to an episode on the way to Easter at my mom's place today, and it was from, I think, December, and we were talking about all your free Goodwill points.
Oh, yeah.
And that just got me thinking, like, has that continued, or did that stop, or what happened with maybe get everybody caught up on where that was.
Yeah, so I or have this insane amount of Goodwill points, which I believe is... it is me spending money at Goodwill, like buying clothes.
You think
and
it's
stuff.
Legit?
I think it's yes, I do.
Wow!
But also because my dad is using it,
oh,
it kind of like I don't want to say double. He doesn't use it every day or whatever, but I spend enough on clothes there, and he spends enough in addition to where I'm always surprised why there's more points or whatever.
Yeah,
I do think that's what the case was. And I will have a little bit more news regarding points later in the show.
Okay, all right, sounds good. The if you weren't listening in December, basically what happened in December is Sasha kept going to Goodwill, spending like finding like $28 of stuff he wanted to buy, bringing it up to register, and they would always ask him, "Do you want to use your points?" He always would, and then the next week he would do the same thing, or next day he would do the same thing. He'd have like $40 worth of stuff, and then they would ask him, "Do you want to use your points?" They would say, he would say yes, and there'd be no additional balance after that. So he just kept getting free stuff. But all right, if you're saying it's legit, that's even more interesting. But all right, we'll talk about that later. For now, that's all I got for my time. Let's get to some GST.
GST's Garage Sale Talk Time. It's Goodwill Scores Talk. It's whatever you want to call it. This is when me and Pee-wee talk about the stuff that we found this week, whether it was at Goodwill Garage Sales or our grandma's house, and nowhere else. No other places start with G's. We like to talk about what we found because we learn from each other. And hopefully you guys can also learn what is good and what isn't good and all that kind of stuff. Any additional information is always good. I only have a couple things this week. I really haven't been going out. I keep saying I'm not going. I'm waiting for the garage sales. But unfortunately, there hasn't been anything near me. Let's start things off here with a vintage Pro Player Dallas Cowboys full zip windbreaker jacket. This is not any sort of flashy jacket, but it is vintage. It is an older Pro Player. So I ended up paying $6.99 for this. I think I could get about $30 for it, which is kind of why I picked this up originally. I was hoping it was more, but after going through and doing some more research when I came home, I was like, I could still probably get $30 to $40 for this thing. If it looked a little bit cooler, if it had a better design that made it look more vintage, I think it would be worth more. This is just pretty much a plain blue jacket, but it does have that old Cowboys, the star logo on it. Cowboy stuff still sells. Sure. A lot of, massive fan base or whatever. I couldn't find really an exact comp for this thing. The one that you're looking at on YouTube is for a like windbreaker and pants, but it's even a different windbreaker, but it's kind of similar. It's all blue. It has the logo on it.
Yeah, the outside looks very similar, right?
Yeah, and I don't even know what they got for it. They were asking $74.99 and they took a best offer on that thing. As I was looking at comps, I typed in vintage Dallas Cowboys jacket. Just to see how many there are. There's over 1,800 listings for vintage Dallas Cowboys jacket. And then I click on the solds, and it was 860 sold.
That's pretty good.
Normally you want the reverse of that.
Yeah.
But 860 sold means there's a market for it. There's plenty of these being sold on a daily basis. And so then I typed in, and I looked for Pro Player Dallas Cowboys jacket, just by that brand specifically. And there was 518 results for Pro Player Dallas Cowboys jacket and 305 sold. Again, you would still like it the other way, but 300 jackets is 300 jackets. So I'm not too worried about it. I think it'll go eventually. I just don't think it's going to get as big of money as I was hoping for when I did find it. Next up is another jacket. This is an interesting jacket. It's a vintage Atomics, O-T-O-M-I-X. It's like a USA flag jacket.
Look at this thing.
It says side out on it, which I believe is a volleyball term. I looked it up, and one of the exact versions of this jacket did show up. That's the only comp that I was able to find. They were asking $53.99 for it, I want to say. I paid $7.99. It was kind of taking a shot. It's in nice condition. There are like five or six other Atomics, I hope I'm saying that right, jackets that are American flag and like volleyball themed, but this was the only exact one of this. And so there are five or six like this that sold. So I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. Especially since I think I can make more than a $20 or $30 sale on this. I think it's going to be closer to a $40 jacket plus shipping, maybe a little bit more. But my favorite thing that happened when I was going through this, I Googled side out to see is this a separate company? Atomics, I guess, makes clothing for like weightlifting and volleyball and certain things. It's like a lightweight clothing or whatever.
Okay.
And so I look up side out, I Google it. And the first thing that comes up is a 1990 comedy movie called Side Out,
okay,
which looks incredible. It looks like the volleyball version of Bloodsport. It is. I mean, there's no fighting, but the equivalent to fighting is spiking the ball or something. I don't know. It's like two guys and how are they going to get along and blah blah blah. Well, anyway, then an ad came up for a movie, and it was like, if you like Side Out, you're gonna love this 1984 R-rated 1 hour 28 movie called Hard Bodies. Three middle-aged guys rent a beach house to hopefully score with young single women. Not having what it takes, they hire a sexy young surfer, Scotty, to teach them some game. This is absolutely what I'm looking for. And the trailer for this was incredible. Uh-huh. Like, it had the guy, the voice guy, you know, movie voice guy from the 80s.
Yeah.
And then it was reading off a bunch of things. It was like, it did not win 3 Golden Globes. It did not win 5 Golden Globes. It won 0 Golden Globes. So they're like making fun of their own movie. This is absolutely a perfect thing for me. And this is really the best thing that came out of finding this jacket at Goodwill.
Okay, that's fair. That reminds me, this 2 days ago, we saw the new Ghostbusters movie, me, my wife, my son. I wasn't thinking. He can't watch scary movies at night because he has a hard time sleeping afterwards. So my wife went to bed when we got home, and I'm thinking, man, I can't just shoo this kid off to bed. What am I going to do? I need something to take his mind off him. Let me find another movie to watch. So I put on Spaceballs, and him and I enjoyed Spaceballs at like 10 o'clock at night through until like 11:30.
Do you have to know Star Wars, Star Trek, Star
no,
Wars?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
As a kid, like, I've seen Star Wars now, but as a kid, I had only seen, my only reference to Star Wars was Spaceballs.
Yeah, I've never watched it because I thought maybe you would have to know a little bit.
No, it's decent even without it.
Okay.
But good. I'm surprised you've never seen it. Yeah. So it's good stuff. Just
John Candy's in that?
Yes, sir. Mel Brooks is in it.
So after I watched the Hard Bodies trailer, the next thing came up said, if you love Hard Bodies and you like Side Out, you're going to love Summer Rental.
Summer Rental, that's what it is. Yeah, I know the cover of Summer Rental.
Yeah, it's literally, yeah, I took a screenshot of it because
of course.
I was going to talk about it and I was like, we're going long. I don't want to keep going. Yeah, 80s rated R movies that are under 90 minutes. That's what I want. That's all I want to watch. It doesn't matter. I don't need the storyline. I don't need to know if it's good. Just that's all I need. Send us your VHS. The next thing that I got this week was, this was interesting, Peloton shoes that I found. These are like cycling shoes, spinning shoes. They clip into your bicycle so you can go like faster. You see the like red part on the bottom if you're watching on YouTube.
You found these. These are not, well, I guess I can see the Goodwill tag. This, I was going to ask, are you still doing Peloton?
Yeah.
Okay.
6 days a week, my friend.
Wow.
I do 3 days of strength. I do 3 days of running. And I actually bought cycling shoes. I got them for Christmas because I wanted to start using the bike because I've never used the Peloton bike. I just do the other style. I have the tread as well. And I ended up paying something like $30 to get like the cheapest, most generic Chinese, you know, whatever off of Amazon. And they were like $30 brand new. So I know that these things can be expensive. Also, this is Peloton shoes. So when I saw them, I was like, okay, and let me take a look here. They have the plate. That red plate comes off on a lot of shoes.
Oh.
I mean, like, it unscrews and people take them off or whatever.
Yeah.
It has both of those things, which I think adds a little bit of value to them. They're in almost perfect condition. And those little clasps that, like, the plastic part goes into to tighten the shoe, they work. And that's really what you're looking for here. These shoes will go. I don't think I will have a problem selling them for $40 plus shipping, pre-owned, brand new. They can go for around $100. But yeah, I was kind of surprised to see these. I think this is someone who probably purchased a Peloton around COVID times and then never got around to it, or tried it a couple times and threw it away, like most people do with their exercise equipment. So
do you keep an eye out now for the red, like? There's a bike that goes to these shoes, right?
Yeah.
Do you think?
I mean, any cycling bike that is worth any of worth any money, you can like clip in. You clip the shoes in so that your feet.
Oh, is that right?
Okay. Yeah. I've actually looked up earlier in the week. I found some pink, like random brand ones that I ended up looking up, and I could have gotten like $25 plus shipping for them, whatever they were. But they were kind of beat up, so I didn't take a chance on those. But these, because they're Peloton, because they're brand new, I was like, yeah, I'll definitely pick these up. And then the last thing I have for you which is something that I got for free with Goodwill points. You see what I did there? We're bringing it back.
All right, that's. I thought you were going to say free from your wife.
No, I got these Hallmark Golden Girls ornaments. Now, there's only three of the four here. It's the three that are not Betty White.
Okay.
And they were $1.99 a piece or whatever, which is why I wrote paid $5.97 for them. I did ask them to check my points. She goes, oh, yeah, you have way more than enough points for this. So I got them for free, and then I looked at my total, and I still have about $20 in points that I could use right now. So that is the update for the points
situation.
But
you think they're all legit, too?
I think so.
That's crazy.
I mean, I don't want to say no because I don't want anybody looking into it. So I found these, $1.99 a piece. It's three of the four. It's not Betty White. Betty White itself goes for $50 if it in used condition.
Wow.
So if you are looking for any Golden Girls Hallmark stuff, you find any, the Betty White one is definitely the money one. These other ones go for like 10 to like 17 bucks, and not very often. Or if they do, they all have the boxes with them. These don't have the like Hallmark gift boxes that they go into. It was just something I thought I would take a shot on. I think I can still sell them because some of them do sell without the boxes.
So.
If you're looking on YouTube, four of them brand new in the box go for $200. I mean, so there's some money. There's some people who want to collect these things. And I think if someone takes a look on eBay and sees how much the Betty White is and wants to get it, maybe you want to complete the collection, whatever it is. I think I can probably get around $30 for this.
Okay.
I don't think it's too crazy to ask for.
No,
it.
That might even be low.
It might be low. And, you know, buying the three at once, if you're trying to collect all four, it's going to be cheaper to buy in one lot. And nobody else has. I couldn't find another lot that just featured these three people in it. So
I think this is great.
Yeah, we'll see. And yeah, but you know, but the big thing to take out of this is if you find the Betty White one, it is
$50. It's the green
one,
Care Bear cup.
Yeah, perfect.
There you go.
And that's it for me.
Okay. I'm going to start with, I don't think this is a good one. I haven't looked up anything yet.
It's the Betty White Hallmark gift.
Right, I wish. This is about 10 to 15 different like kids' watches from like the early 90s, maybe late 90s, early 2000s.
You're stealing children's watches now?
These were just in a bag at Goodwill. It's a mix of like Star Wars, there's Lion King, there's Rugrats, there's Simpsons, there's Elmo, there's a whole bunch of stuff in here. I was in a rush before we logged on here, so I wasn't able to look anything up, but a lot of them are still on, like they're still like running, they have the time on them. I don't know, I paid $3, they were in a $2.99 bag, and I just said, okay, it's a lot of stuff, it looks vintage. There's a 3D, like Lion King one on the left side, like Simba, like it's like an enclosure that you like pop open and then you see the clock on the inside. One of these has to be worth like $20. If not,
yeah,
they're
something.
All worth like $8. Then
yeah.
I'm fine. This will probably be something I don't waste my time on. I'm considering just lotting these up and doing an auction. I have such a backlog of stuff I need to list that I'm just getting desperate in ways that I need to like get some of the stuff and done and clear some table space down there. So I might just make this an auction and just let it go. Maybe. Another thing that I got that I'm also probably going to do an auction on is a lot of tech decks that I bought for $2. This was another Goodwill find. This one I think is much better than the watches. It's probably like 15 boards. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, somewhere around there. And some wheels, some handlebars. Almost all the boards have wheels on them too. I couldn't find any sold listings for this exact lot, obviously, but like different sold listings sell anywhere from like 10 boards for $20 to 15 boards or 12 boards for $30. I think it depends on the board. I don't know that I want to sit here and look up every single one of them. I have so much stuff to list at this point. Everything that I've talked about on this show since mid-February, plus stuff from before then that I just never gotten around to. It's just, has just been sitting in my basement waiting to get listed. I really need to get on it. I hope I've got some free time coming up to do it. It won't be this week. This week I'll be pricing video games. But hopefully after the Midwest Gaming Classic, I'll have some time to actually sit down and process through some of the stuff. But still, I mean, for $2, I couldn't pass this bag up.
No, I think that's a good lot regardless of what you sell it at.
Right,
because
yeah.
I do think it's worth looking at each deck individually.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But if you wanted to put it as an auction with whatever your starting item is, someone is going to find if there's something of value in there and actually bid on that.
I would think so.
Yeah,
I gotta think about it. And my problem is I just don't have time to think. I don't have time to do research. I just have time to sit down and do the easy listings, and even those I'm not even doing. Right. So like.
Yeah.
A week from now, maybe I'll have time to sit down and then pump out those cows. But that's it.
Pump up those cows.
Third Goodwill bag in a row. These are all different days. I picked up this bag for $2. I don't know if you can see it, but it's a bunch of there's a bunch of Disney stuff, I guess. It's a Buzz Lightyear. It's an alien from Toy Story. There's a the troll thing from Frozen. There's a Vinylmation, which is just a regular lion. It's not worth anything. And then the reason that I bought the bag is this little red guy on the bottom right. That's a Snaggletooth from Star Wars. I probably could have passed this up. He sells for... Here, I'll get a close-up of him. He sells for about $12 plus shipping, $10, $12. He's nothing. I don't really need him. I just have a hard time passing up on vintage figure. This is an early 80s Star Wars figure. If you find the blue version of this, so they made this guy twice. They made the regular release version on just a regular card, which is red. That's this one. But before that, there was a Sears exclusive playset. This is the one you want to keep an eye out for. It's a blue Snaggletooth. And the way that they made that figure is he looks exactly the same, but wherever it's red is blue. But also, this is a short guy. Put him next to a Luke Skywalker or a Darth Vader figure, and he comes up to their chest, right? Because in the movie, I guess he was shorter. The blue one in the Sears playset, they made him regular size. He's as tall as Darth Vader, and he's as tall as the other figures. And it was a mistake. It was just the toy makers hadn't seen the movie. They just got the character designs and just assumed everybody was the same size. So because of that, they quickly got rid of that, and they didn't remake the figure, and they redid it for the individual carded release. So, and that was the red guy. So finally the red guy comes out, you have the correct figure. But now the blue one, I found the blue one once at a garage sale, and then I sold it at a toy convention. I want to say the blue one, if you find a blue Snaggletooth, it goes for $400.
Good God.
It's nuts. And I found it at a garage sale once in a bag of Star Wars toys. And I didn't know what it was. I just picked up a bag of Star Wars toys and went through it and processed it when I got home. And when I got home, I'm like, oh God, this is am I looking at this right? Same reaction that you had to the basketball card. But yeah, if you find a blue Snaggletooth, that's what you could just Google blue Snaggletooth and one will pop up. The amount of paint wear does greatly vary. On the blue ones, on any of the figures, it's going to vary. But the better, obviously, your paint is, the more it's going to be worth. You can see this guy has the gray scraped off on his left hand, and you can kind of see the red through him. This figure is all red, and they just painted on the gray and the black and whatever. So the paint scraped off on the left side on the hand, and you can see the red underneath. If the same thing's on the blue, that's going to affect the value. On this guy, not really. This one's actually in decent shape.
Yeah, it looks like that blue one is from 1978.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And there's all sorts of different pricing. You know, some of them are as cheap as, this one's a custom for $60. But the regular ones, it just went for $300 as an auction. There's also one that went for $1,000 with one bid that you can tell is in a plastic case in amazing condition or whatever.
If a custom's going for $60, that means you can't get the regular figure for $60. People are willing to pay somebody to 3D print something.
I can't imagine how much the Betty White Snaggletooth
goes for. There we go. All right, that's it for my Goodwill stuff. I have two other kind of pickups. First one, I was out Connor is on spring break, and I've been trying to spend some more time with him. My wife was out of town Sunday through Monday. Monday through Wednesday. And one of those days, I decided to take him out to Dave and Buster's, and we just had a nice guy's day. And after that, we decided to hit up a local comic shop that was near there. Just, he's gotten into the Ninja Turtle comics, and we're just looking at random stuff. And we know nothing about comics, but we're trying to get into it. And while we were there, he found some books that he wanted to get. So comics are cheap. I don't know if you know this, but like he got like 5 books, and each one is like $3 or $4. Like, comics is the collectible wise, it's the best way to get into it. It's so simple. Like for kids specifically, it's fantastic.
One of my thrift stores that I go to every once in a while, I used to call it Sasha's Secret Spot, but I don't do that anymore.
Okay.
But they just put like, I mean, it has to be thousands of comic books into a thing next to their thousands of Funkos, and I'm like, this isn't for me.
No, as far as like flipping, I don't recommend comics. So most comics aren't worth anything. Like even if you can buy 500 comics for $500, you're probably getting ripped off. Like it's not, even at $1 a piece, it's not worth it.
If you can find someone just trying to get rid of old comics, it's worth it.
Yeah, well, I mean, with this pickup also has nothing to do with comics. It's just the comic store. But comics in general, what you're looking at is how much they sold for at the time. So, like, in the upper left-hand corner, it'll have, like, 10 cents. Or, like, currently, it's, like, $3.99. But what you're looking for is the 10 cent, the nickel, and really the penny comics are the expensive ones. Because those are the old ones. Like, it just lines up. If you can find stuff that sold for cheap initially, because it was sold in the 40s for a penny, it's probably worth something now, no matter if it's a comic book or anything.
Yeah, and that's like the, if you're not into comic books, rule of thumb. Like, I'm sure there, I mean, we know there are people, our buddy Fat Daddy Collectibles, who like, he's
first appearances of like specific right guys, now. But like that's, you need way more research. That's middle hanging fruit.
Yeah, if you know nothing, that's a thing to look for.
Right.
The price.
So we were checking out, and he got a handful of books. And while we're checking out, on the counter, but to the left, I saw this figure, and it was a Mega Man figure. It wasn't Mega Man, but it was like Mega Man branding. And I grabbed it and said, "Hey, is this for sale?" And he goes, "Yeah." I go, "Great. What do you need for it?" It's like, "How about $10?" So I held on to it, and we were like still kind of looking around the store. And while I held on to it, I looked it up, and then I realized I definitely need to pick it up. This is the Mega Man fully charged Wave Man figure. It's just one of the many bosses of Mega Man in one of the many, many Mega Man games. A figure that was released, I want to say in, this could have been like either 2019 or 2021. So like a recent figure. I paid $10 for it. This figure, it's carded. It's still sealed. It's brand new. It sells for $20. It sells for $70.
Nice.
And this was at a comic book shop. Like, this guy had collectibles. He had, like, loose action figures. I don't understand why he was willing to sell us at $10, but this was just great because it wasn't a Goodwill pickup. You know what I mean? Like, it was just nice to find something out in the wild. I had to pay up for it. Like, I'm not paying $10 for much at Goodwill, but still, to pay $10 and get $70 out of it, it's still something I do all day.
Love me a Mega Man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Give me a Woodman. The last pickup I got is only thing better than something that's not a Goodwill sale or a Goodwill pickup is something that's for free, and that was this. This is a school year's memory keeper. It's just a scrapbook that you can use to commemorate your kid going to school. All the way for this book specifically has pages for preschool all the way through 12th grade, and I think that's where the value comes for this book. It is brand new. This was just in our basement. This was when I told Connor to go through the garage sale pile, and he started pulling stuff out. I grabbed this thing and looked it up because it was new, and I realized that it's selling for like $60 free shipping.
Wow.
It's a scrapbook. I have no idea why. The only thing I can think of, when I was looking this up, there were other like school year scrapbooks, but none of them went preschool to 12th grade. Like, theoretically, you can have your child's entire school career up through high school from when he first starts school and preschool in the same book. And I think that's where the value for this thing comes from. But still, I mean, I would...
So this was like, just yours. You guys
purchased this was my wife's, was in the basement, and she didn't want to use it.
And you guys decided, nothing worth keeping.
Nothing.
Nothing at all happened.
We've got one finger painting from like second grade, and that's it. No, we're good. I'd much rather have the $60 in my pocket from this thing than
the photos that I bet you did not pay $60 for it.
I don't know who would pay $60, but there are multiple sold listings for this thing at $60. Yeah. All right. That's all I got for GSD.
Which means it's time for flip or bump of the week. This is either our favorite thing that we sold or maybe something that we completely messed up that we learned a lesson from. I'm going to do a flip of the week, but it's not going to be one. It's going to be three. Okay. Because I make the rules around here, that's what I'm going to do.
True.
But these were three sales in a row that I had of clothing, and they were all very good clothing sales, I think, in a row.
It's a good feeling.
I ended up spending $20 on these three items, and they brought in about $160 worth of sales, Ooh. Probably over $100 in profit. One of them was the Ibex, I-B-E-X, Merino Wool Sweater Jacket. Paid $6.99, sold for $40 plus shipping. One of them was the DHL fleece, the full zip that I was talking about, the DHL stuff. I've sold one before. This one sold very quickly and is an international item, which makes sense because I think they're a bigger company internationally.
Okay.
Paid $6.99 and it went for $47.11. The ones tricked them, plus shipping. And then the weird, the number 12 looks like you t-shirt that I had is a Screamo band we talked about, I think it was last week.
I think so, yeah.
It didn't even last a week. I paid $4.99. It ended up selling for $50 plus $4.47 shipping. And they were all like pretty close in order.
Yeah, these are all March pickups according to your custom labels.
Yeah, which, you know, it's That's weird awesome. To me, like... This is why I have trouble with the algorithm. It's like I have stuff that I put up and it sells immediately. I have stuff that I'm selling now that has been listed for a year and a half. Who's looking for it now? I don't know what's going to go when. I don't really care. Go at your own speed. Go your own way.
We are
Fleetwood
the algorithm.
Mac. We are the algorithm. That's the podcast episode title. What about you, Pee Wee? Flip or bump this week?
You sold clothes. I sold a shoe.
Look at us, clothes guys.
No, this is one of those 3-inch. Here, I have a bunch of next to me that apparently I need a price check because I sold this Lilies of the Valley one. This is how big they are. They're very tiny. That's my finger next to it.
That's like such a great score. Something that small,
something this
small, valuable.
It sold for $98.99 free shipping, so almost $100. That was the most expensive shoe that I had. It's the only one that was like it on eBay that didn't have the box. If you had the box, it was going for like $140. But I have a bunch of these other ones. They're not branded the same, which is why I haven't looked them up. I've got a bunch of these that I just need to... They're just sitting next to me. They've been sitting next to me for months, ever since I had the original pickup, and I just haven't gotten around to looking them up. But apparently I need to, because this was a great sale. The other ones have sold too. Yeah, I think I have one shoe left that I listed previously. Everything else is sold. This was a great pickup. This was a Goodwill pickup. It was in a bag. I think it was more expensive. I think the bag was like $7, and I got two of them, like two bags worth. So maybe I paid like $14 for two bags worth of these types of shoes, and most of them are selling for $30 to $40. Some like this one are selling for $98. Very good, very good.
I love it, and like I can't believe how much stuff you find in bags at Goodwill.
Right,
like mine are just trash everywhere.
I mean, most of my bags are as well. Dude, yeah. You saw the watches I picked up.
And now it's time for well. This is when I pick something from Pee Wee's store. He picks something from mine, and we talk about it. But you know what? I make the rules around here. I'm sick of your store. You're not adding things.
Right.
I've talked to you enough about Battletoads or whatever. So my question for you, what is your top three favorite Boy Meets World characters?
Characters?
I promised that we were going back to Boy Meets World.
Okay,
I was not
that's
done.
True. That's true. That's a great question. I'm going to get it confused with Full House. Full House, I would have said Gia. But Gia's not in Boy Meets World, is she?
Listen, she was in some episodes, probably.
I thought I remembered her. Okay. Whatever Gia's name was.
My wife gets mad anytime Gia is on a television screen.
That's probably
you
wise.
You can probably figure out why.
Right. Chubby. I'm going to go with Chubby.
Okay. I like it. The owner of the owner of Chubby's,
yeah. And Feeny's niece.
Which is the wavy-haired girl.
Yeah, she had a lot of hair.
No, not Allie McBeal. Clarissa McFlockhart.
Sure. She was in
I know she's somebody, but she was in some TV show, but I don't remember what it was. I would go with an Alex Mack, personally.
Oh, I forgot that Alex Mack was in that show. Yeah, okay. Had I remembered that, she might have made the list as well. That's fair.
And Eric. Eric is fantastic.
The combination of Eric and Feeny is one of the greatest television duos of all time.
Yeah. Larry and Balky, Feeny and Eric.
That's right. Norm and, who's the mailman?
Cliff Clavin.
Cliff, yeah. There you go.
You know, there used to be a punk band called Operation Cliff Clavin.
That's very smart guys.
Are we still recording?
All right, for you, before you cut me off and I don't do this. Well, how about this? I don't think you talked about this. Vintage Indiana Pacers team wristbands.
Yeah, I didn't talk about this $10 free shipping item that I picked up.
I thought it was cool. Is it legitimately vintage?
Yeah, I love this thing. Right. I don't understand how it hasn't sold. I keep getting offers for $4 or $5 free shipping. And I'm not going to. It's got the old Pacers logo. And, like, the Pacers are a respectable team. Like, they're not bad.
This is cool. This is very cool.
Yeah, I found this, oddly enough, at Sasha's secret spot that I was talking about with the comics and all that stuff. And I think I paid $1, maybe even 50 cents for this thing. I was like, somebody's going to buy it. Nobody's buying it. It's been a long time. And that's it for the show. You like this show? You want to email this show? FlipsAndMumps@gmail.com. Make sure you follow us on Instagram @FlipsAndMumps. And most importantly, just listen. New episodes every single Monday. Wherever you get podcasts and all that good stuff. I'm Sasha. He's Pee-wee. This is Flips and Bumps. We might see you next week, or we might just both be in Milwaukee not recording this podcast.
That's it? No band this week?
I haven't done that in 2 months.
Flip that turkey!